Dear precious souls of God, we hope you'll be blessed as you listen to this message. May God be with you.
Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. I pray for you that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. The Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say, subdue. And have dominion. Amen. Amen. So I've been teaching on this subject for the past month now. And next week we will be going to a new subject. Hallelujah. Next week we'll start talking about prayer. Because we have to become a prayerful church. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, "My Father's house shall be a house of prayer." Amen. Amen. So I want to encourage you that you must be a prayerful Christian in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. But in the subject of dominion, God spoke to me about this dominion. I believe it was November. My wife and I were fasting in November, the whole month of November. And God spoke to me that next year is a year of dominion. And when he said that, I knew that dominion, to dominate, to fully walk in dominion in this life is a journey. It's not a one-time button, fix all type of button where you are suddenly dominating. Are you listening to me? Where's my daughter? Bring my daughter here quickly, or any child who can come here quick. Quickly, quickly, run. Amen. Now tell me, ladies and gentlemen, if tomorrow we make this young girl president of South Africa, at this age, we wake up and say, "This is the new president of South Africa." Hello, president, hello.
Hello.
Hey, would you be happy? Some of you are so, you'll be happy, you are quiet. Will you be happy to be led by a young child like this? You want to be led by someone who understands economics, who understands responsibility, how it feels to not have a job and have children around. Who understands, you know, all the different levels of life. This one is 3 years old. So when God says it's a year of dominion, it means that you have to go into the journey where at some point of your life, you will dominate. Hallelujah. All right, go sit down. Put your hands together for our president, our future president. Hallelujah. So God is putting you in a journey. And for those of you who are catching the spirit that I'm bringing, you realize that there are certain decisions that you have to make. You have to change your lifestyle so that you can begin to walk in dominion in this life. Dominion is not by chance. It's not by chance. It's a journey that you have to embark on. It's a journey that you have to stay on. And it's not an easy journey. That's why I taught you that first your mind has to change. That's why I taught you that you have to develop discipline. You know the painful thing about a lack of discipline, Paulina, is that you may have a good heart. You may be a very nice person. You may decide to do good things. But if you are not disciplined in the things that you are doing, it's almost as though, you know, you've done nothing. For example, you're a student. You want to pass. Who wants to fail? Lift up your hand. You want to fail. I want to see people who have the desires to fail in this life. Nobody. Each and everybody, when they go to school, they have the mind to pass. And you find yourself going to school every morning of every week of every month for 12 months. Or is it 11 months? You go. It's cold, you go. It's raining, you go. It's hot, you go. You go. Does someone who is always going to school like that have the intention to fail? I don't think so. But as good as your intention is, if you do not have discipline, all your waking up, all your going, rain, sunshine, heat, whatever it is that you go through, if you are not disciplined, all that will become nothing. I don't know if you are hearing what I'm saying. And I'm using an example of school, but some of us have been working for 7 years, 10 years, 20 years. If you are not disciplined, it's like you'll be working, working. But when you look, there's nothing to show. That is the pain of an ill-disciplined life, a life that has no discipline. You want good things. You wake up to go to work. You wake up to go to school. You love your children. But because of a lack of discipline, there's nothing to show. That is the pain of not being disciplined. And then we look at people who are enjoying things and say, "Ooh, we wish to be like them." But we don't know the things they do behind the scenes. We don't see them waking up early in the morning, working, preparing for the day. We don't see that. We only see the fruits of their work. There's no amen today.
Amen.
So I'm trying to reinforce what I'm trying to say, that the life of dominion is a journey. It's not a one-button-fix-all type of thing. You don't just wake up in the morning and start dominating. There are things that you have to do, and there are things that you have to keep doing for the rest of your life so that you can dominate in this life.
Amen.
If you want to be a spiritual entity, you have to be prayerful. We are going into winter now. Winter is where we experience prayerlessness like no other season. Because even in summer, it's still difficult to wake up. Now, when that weather, when you try to remove the blanket and you feel that crispy weather, but if you don't rise up to pray, you will never dominate. You'll be a child of God crying and say, "God, why me?" That time you are not praying. That time you are not reading your Bible. You are not doing anything that will cause you to dominate in this life. Tell your neighbor, it's a journey. And you must stay in that journey. I say it loud. I say, neighbor, it is a journey to dominate. Yeah. Lazy people don't dominate. Never happens. It will never happen in Jesus' name. I knew you won't say amen.
Amen.
Let me come preach this side. Maybe I will hear amens. Lazy people will never dominate in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So ladies and gentlemen, these teachings are there to build you up. These teachings are there to strengthen you. These teachings are, I'm teaching you to give you a future. Some time ago, I told you that the acts of wisdom don't always produce fruits immediately. They normally produce fruit after some time. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm pleading with you. Decide to enter the road where you will dominate in this life. Decide to be disciplined. Look at your daily life. Realize that, Karna, I'm watching Generations the whole day. The whole day. Is it Generations? Is it still there? The legacy. The whole day. You know everyone. You know they are fake names and you know they are real names. You know them. But that knowledge, what has it done for you? For years, you have that knowledge. What has it done for you? Why don't you pick up a book? You know, one man of God said, education will give you a job, but self-education will give you a fortune. Have you noticed the people that you watch on TV? Especially these days where we have pandemics, so they are always being interviewed from their homes. I want you to notice behind them what you normally see. What do you see, Paulina?
Books.
The reason you are watching that person is because of the information that he has spent empowering himself or herself. And you will not empower yourself. So you will always be watching that person. There's a man of God, the late Dr. Miles Monroe. One day he was watching TV. And his mother said to him, "Stop watching that thing. If you watch that thing, you will never be in it." In other words, people who sit watching TV the whole day, they will never be on the screen themselves. And as he was preaching, I was watching him on the screen. Me, I was watching him on television. Someone said discipline. Can I hear the word discipline more loudly, please?
Discipline.
Can I hear it even louder, please?
Discipline.
May you become disciplined.
Amen.
Because the journey of discipline is the journey of dominion. You will have power when you become disciplined. A woman of God called Catherine Kuhlman, she said, a life of discipline is a life of power. When I heard that, I said, what? She said, a life of discipline is a life of power. You will have no power if you are not disciplined. You will have no power to pass a school. You will have no power to get a job. You will have no power to grow your business. You will have no power to raise your children. Some people are raising drug dealers. Some people are raising criminals, murderers. You are busy raising them because there's no discipline. A 10-year-old will come back home at midnight. Ha! Ha! I will kick my daughter here. Nonsense. Someone say nonsense. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm talking about discipline so much. But if you want to dominate, unless you don't want to dominate, then sleep your life away. It's okay. Some of us sleep 9 hours a day. Some of us sleep 10 hours a day. They don't want to say amen today. Do you want me to preach what you want to hear? Or do you want me to preach what you need to hear? Nine hours a day. 10 hours a day. Wabuluma. Huh? are you going to dominate? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So for you to dominate, you really have to honestly look at yourself and look at your life. Look at your daily life. What are you doing every day that will produce a future for you? When you finish a week, ask yourself, what have I done this week that will produce a future for me? That will produce a future for my children. That will produce a future for my family. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
When Jesus had a face-to-face encounter with Satan, Satan began to tempt him, and Jesus said, it is written. Someone say, it is written. It means that Jesus sat and read. He read. And he read so much that he didn't say to Satan, wait, it's in the Bible. I know it's in the Bible. Can I ask the scriptures? Let's go ahead. But he had read so much that it was in his heart. He didn't need to make reference. He said, it is written. For it to get to that level, it means he read and he read and he read and he read and he read again.
Amen.
The amens are not blessing me, so let me move on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, it doesn't matter what I can say to you. There's a statistic, you know, that every person who wins lotto, every person, if not every, at least in the higher 90 percentages, or I should say almost every person who wins lotto, after some years, when you go look at them, their lives, they are back to where they began before they won the lotto. Do you know why that's the case? Because you are giving money to an ill-disciplined individual. Someone who doesn't read. Someone who doesn't wake up to do something. When they get the money, they say, That's all that's in the mind. It is a lack of discipline. The discipline to read. When I say read, I'm not talking about Bona and what are these magazines? I forgot them now. I'm not talking about magazines. I'm talking about reading things that empowers you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Am I preaching to somebody today?
Amen.
Tell a neighbor, say my neighbor. I'm not going to sleep so many hours again. Make sure your neighbor is talking. Watch your neighbor's mouth. Say, my neighbor, I'll never sleep so many hours again. Shwa. Say, shwa. Someone say, Lord, have mercy on me. Amen. Put your hands together for yourselves. Amen. You know what I've realized? I used to complain that I wish I had more time. Because I find myself having to do so much and I get to a point where I say, I wish I had more time. There was a time where I used to say, I wish we had 30 hours in a day or 32 hours in a day or 40 hours in a day. But then I came to realize that there are people who have way more responsibility than me and are doing greater things than I'm doing, and they have the same time that I have. So I started my journey into a life of discipline, and I realized that if I discipline my life, I suddenly realize that I suddenly have more time. You don't look like you understand what I'm saying. If I discipline my life, if I tell myself I wake up at this time, I do this at this time, I do this at this time, I do this at this time, I suddenly notice that I've got time. Instead of waking up any time, I wake up at a specific time. Instead of doing things any time, I have a specific time for when I do something. I realize, I have more time now. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I pray that God will give you a revelation of what I'm saying. Because when you become blessed, this house will become blessed. When you become blessed, Naumapias will become blessed. Naumapias needs many, many role models. We need good role models. Many people, when they make it in this life, they run away from the area where they used to live. And they go join other people. But my prayer is that God will raise people who will be role models that we will see here. That we'll see them praying. That they are prayerful. Like one gentleman that is a real true role model is Chief Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng. You can imagine how busy this gentleman is. And one day I was watching television and I saw him and he said, I'm a prayer warrior. I said, but you are a judge. Not just any judge, you are the highest judge in the land. And he says, I'm a prayer warrior. I was telling my friend that one day I went to his house. Chief Justice Mokgweng's house. I went there. And I was surprised. When I told my friend this, he said, yeah, my friend, you are really in his house. I was surprised. Next to his bed. What do you call these things? What do you call this thing? There's a headboard, right? And there's a, what do you call? The drawer thing next to the headboard. Help me. Huh? You don't know what it's called. Lampstand. Is that what it's called? I saw a Bible sitting there next to his bed. And that tells you that before he sleeps, he reads his Bible. Then I went to his office. Now, I don't know, you know, I had a friend whose father was a lawyer. And I used to go visit this friend. And in a lawyer's office, lawyers read, you know. If you want to study law, know that you are going to read like no one's business. Those people read. So their offices are full of documents and files. When I went to the Chief Justice office, I saw Bishop T.D. Jakes. I said, are you not a judge? What are you? Are you a judge or what are you? I saw Bibles. I saw Joel Osteen. I was just seeing men and women of God's books. I don't know why I'm saying what I'm saying. Help me, Jesus, to preach my message today. So what I'm trying to say is that if you don't develop discipline in your life, no matter how good your intention is to do well, it is impossible. No matter you have the intention to grow your business, no matter you have the intention to raise children who will do well in life, if you yourself do not become disciplined, all your good meaning, all your well-intentioned acts will be futile. They will come to zero. Just like the person going to school every day, if they don't sit down to read and make sure they understand what they are reading on a daily basis, all they are waking up for years will come to zero. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I hear a louder amen?
Amen.
Glory be to God. Now, for a short time, I'm really struggling to preach today. I just find myself talking about discipline. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Abigail, do you understand what I'm saying? Put your hands together for Jesus. All my teachings will become zero unless you discipline yourself. And the Holy Spirit will help you. He's there to help you to be disciplined. You know, Paulina led us in a prayer this morning. Said, Lord, wake us up. Wake us up in the morning. What I've realized is that God can come and say, hey, Tua. And you say, okay, danki mudimu. And then you go back, you change gears. That time he woke you up. So you have to rise. Whether God wakes you up supernaturally, or whether your alarm, or sometimes God wakes you up by you needing the toilet at night. I listen to what I'm saying. Amen. You wake up because you are pressed. You are not just pressed. It's your wake up time. Say amen. 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 Yeah. It's your wake up time. Amen. Don't go back to sleep. But Pastor, I set my alarm for 3 and I woke up at 1. It's fine. God wants you to pray from 1 to 3. Can you say amen as some belief? Amen. Hey, listen to what I'm saying. It's your wake, it's your prayer time. I have a set time that my alarm rings. In fact, I have 3 alarms. In case the first one doesn't work, the second one must work. And in case the second one doesn't work, the third one will surely work. I've got a good intention to wake up. I'm not playing. But I've got a certain time for my alarm, but sometimes I'll wake up. When I go back to bed, sleep is gone. It has disappeared. No more sleep. And I tell myself that it means that God wants me to pray. Hallelujah. Then I'll wake up and pray. And this week I was just marveling. I'll pray for 3 hours. I'll pray for 4 hours. And I'll ask myself, how can I pray for 4 hours nonstop? How? And I realized that it's the Holy Spirit. He will help you. And I don't get bored. I don't get bored. 1 hour. 2 hours. Sometimes my leg will start being sore, but I'll continue. That's why it's so important for you to speak in tongues. Oh, if I could only speak with my understanding. I'll pray for 2 minutes and I'm done. But the grace of speaking in tongues allows me to pray for as long as I want to pray. If I want to pray 24 hours, I'll pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, be disciplined in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, for 15 minutes, let me teach what I prepared to teach today. We are still talking about what it means to walk in dominion. Hallelujah. Now, another meaning of walking in dominion means to manifest. To manifest. Somebody say manifest. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, say, my beautiful neighbor, my nice neighbor, where is your Bible? Hey, please ask them properly. Neighbor, where is your Bible? Demand an answer. I want an answer. If you are new in church, we forgive you. But some of you have been coming to this church and you still don't have a Bible. It's unforgivable. Hallelujah. You must have a Bible, okay? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, to walk in dominion means to manifest. All right? Come with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse. Let's read from verse 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Venense, are you here? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Romans chapter 1 from verse 1. Are we there? Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made the seed of David according to the flesh. Verse 4 is what we are looking for. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Put your hands together for the reading of the Word of God. Amen. Now Paul talks about Jesus here, and he says, and declared to be the Son of God. And declared to be the Son of God. Now that word declared means to manifest. Hallelujah. That word declared means what? To manifest. The word manifest means to show. The word manifest means to reveal. Do you understand what I'm saying? For example, you know, what is behind me is a pulpit. When I move away, I reveal the pulpit. I show the pulpit. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So Jesus was manifested to be the Son of God. He was manifested as the Son of God. And it says, by power. Someone say, by power. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the day you got born again, you became a child of God. Now, walking in dominion is when there are proofs in your life that you are of God. Walking in dominion is when you show that you are of God. When proofs begin to appear, that when people see, they say that this person is of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That is dominion. When you begin to prove, when there are signs, proofs in your life that you are of God. When that starts happening, you must know that you have begun to walk in dominion. Now, as you listen to me, and as you are hearing what I'm saying, you have to start thinking, is that is there any aspect of my life that I myself can point at to show that I am a child of God. God is with me. God is in me. So walking in dominion is when you get to that level where there is continuous proof. You don't have to go to people and say, hey, I'm a child of God. But your life has proof. Your life has signs. Your life shows that you're a child of God. I started following God from the age of about 19 or so. I got born again before that, but I didn't know what had happened, and I continued with my silly life. But when I turned about 19 years old, something changed in me. I listened to me. And in those days, you know, I had my own room, And my father used to walk in, you know, as though it's like he's walking in his house. You know, he's in his house. So he won't knock. He will just brew and go to come to do whatever he's come to do and be gone. I said, "Shwe, this guy." And I couldn't tell him, "Hey, you must knock because it's his house." So my life started changing. And most of the time when he walks into my room would be in the morning when he's in a rush to go to work. Maybe there's something that he needs in my room. He comes to collect it. And most of the time he was finding me in this position, praying, "Oh, Father, Father, please." And when he walks in, he will do his normal business. And he found me on my knees. And I realized that he's praying. So I'm a young boy. It's his house. He doesn't respect me. But my God, he respects. So day one, it happened first time. And I realized he was taken aback. And next day he came and he found me again, kneeling down, praying to my God. Then all of a sudden, I started hearing. I said, "Hey." So I was showing whom I belong to. There were signs and proofs that this child has a relationship with God. Started respecting me. Then one day, my father had a heart attack. My father. He went to the hospital. When he got there, the doctor said, "How come you are still alive?" When the doctor looked at his heart, he said, "With this heart, you should be dead by now." My father was a heavy smoker. Heavy. And the doctor said, "If you don't stop smoking, you will die." My mother fetched him from hospital. By God's grace, he became fine. And I remember my mother made him food. And we were sitting, the three of us. My mother, my father. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm preaching. My mother, my father, and myself. We were sitting there. And then I think I had to go somewhere. Then I was like, "Hey, I'm going somewhere." Then my father said, "Before you go, my father, the one who born me, my dad, I saw him kneeling down to me." He knelt down and he said, "My son, please pray for me." You asked me to pray for you. And I was a young boy. I told you I was around 19, maybe 20, somewhere there. And I saw my father, and my mother started crying. There were three of us in the room, in the house. My mother started crying. And I laid my hands on my father. And I prayed for him. Then I left. Then I realized that when you start manifesting that you are a child of God, you start walking in dominion. You start walking in dominion. The reason nobody respects your Christianity is because you are not manifesting. You are not born again. You used to watch TV the whole day. You are born again. You still watch TV the whole day. Nothing has changed. You are not manifesting at all, at all, at all. So that's why there's no dominion in your life. At my workplace, they'll be talking as normal people talk. Then one particular guy sweat. He just released one of those ugly words. When he said it, he wished he could pull it back. "Hey, come back." He wished. But you know, once you have spoken, you have spoken. Then he said, oh, I'm so sorry for saying that word. And I'm not his pastor. I'm just me. But he had seen something in me that he realized that I cannot speak like this in this gentleman's presence. Dominion. So for you to dominate, you have to start manifesting. There needs to be signs in your life that you have God living in you. There must be signs. And I remember in those days, people used to call me to come and pray for them. I used to have a prayer group. And I'll come back home and I'll be telling my mother and my father, I say, hey, today I was casting out a demon. Jared, this demon was stubborn. And they'll be listening, eating up every word. And I didn't know what I was doing, but as I was talking to them, they were seeing signs that this boy has God in him. Amen. This boy has God in him. He's not a normal boy. He's not like the rest of them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said 15 minutes. Turn your Bibles quickly. To the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. Am I talking to somebody? Daniel chapter 4 and verse 8. The book of Daniel, chapter 4 and verse 8. Are we there? The Bible says, But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. Now Daniel had manifested God so much that the king of Babylon kept on saying that Daniel, the spirit of the holy gods is in you. This king kept on saying that I can see that God is in you. I have a problem and I need a solution. And I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you. This was a person who was not born again. This was a person who did not know Christ. This was as carnal as they can be. But he could realize that the Spirit of God is in this man. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So you need to grow in your life till your family members can see that the Spirit of God is in you. Till your friends can see that the Spirit of God is in you. Till your colleagues can see that the Spirit of God is in you. Just like we see happening to Daniel. And Daniel kept manifesting even when they threw him in a lion's den. No lion dared touch him because the Spirit of God was in him. He was continuously manifesting that he is a child of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Pastor, me, I'm not a pastor. What do you want me to do? Is the Holy Spirit not in you? The day you got born again, the Holy Spirit entered you. The Bible says, no man can say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. In other words, God is in you. And you have to manifest. I said, you have to what? You have to manifest. Let's read verse 18. Same Daniel chapter 4, verse 18. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. This king kept repeating that God is in you. God is in you. Hallelujah. Quickly turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 41. Quickly. Genesis 41. Sandile, are you listening to me? Genesis 41 and verse 38. This is another king speaking here, but this time he's speaking to Joseph. Hallelujah. Are you in the book of Genesis 41 and 38? The Bible says, And Pharaoh said unto his servant, can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. A man in whom the Spirit of God is. In other words, Joseph manifested to the point that people could see that this man has God in him. Amen. May you begin to manifest from today in Jesus' name. Amen. Because when you start manifesting, that is when you start walking in dominion. Until you manifest, you do not walk in dominion. So there must be signs that you are a child of God. There must be signs. I remember one day, I was reading my Bible, and I was reading, and I was watching how Jesus was healing people. And God started speaking to me, and God started telling me to pray for sick people. And I didn't want to pray for sick people. In the church that I used to go to, we used to have what we call the hospital ministry. And what we used to do is that every Sunday, we used to go to hospitals to visit sick people. Any sick people. People that were not related to us. Hallelujah. And I remember our leader back then. He said that, you guys have been coming for long. Now I want you to start praying for the sick people. And I remember I started praying for the sick people. And I felt that when I pray for them, they become more sick. I'm praying for sick people, and I realized, I feel like they are becoming more sick. And there used to be this other guy who was part of our group. That guy, when he laid his hands on them, they would fall. When I lay my hands on them, they'll just look at me as though, okay, what are you doing? So I started hiding. I started hiding. You know, I will when it's time to pray for them, I will act, you know, like I'm busy doing something. And then a certain brother who was a prophet came to me, and he called my friend. Not knowing that this friend of mine was thinking the exact same thing I was thinking, that also when he lays his hands, he feels like the people are becoming more sick. And he was also running away like me. I didn't know. So this prophet said to us, God says he's angry with the two of you because he told you to pray for his people and you are not praying. Hey! So I started praying for the people and God started speaking to me. And I remember the first time I laid my hands on someone. He had a headache. I laid my hands on him and I commanded the headache to go. And then I said to him, brother, by the time you get home, you realize the headache is gone. And the brother said to me, it's gone. I said, no, listen to me. By the time you get home, you understand, the headache will be gone. And he said, you don't understand. You are not listening to what I'm saying. The headache is gone. You should have seen me. The headache is gone. The headache is gone. I was beginning to manifest. And I remember one of the miracles we saw that amazed me like not never before. We went to visit somebody. When we got there, we found that his uncle was hit by a stroke. And so I said, let me just pray. I laid my hands on the uncle. To cut the long story short, he stood up. I said, ha, uncle, can you stand up? He said, I can stand up. I said, do what you couldn't do before. And there was a bucket full of water there. And he helped with the hand that was hit by a stroke. He took the bucket and he did this. When I looked at the family members, they were like, I said, what's going on? He said, they said he couldn't do this. He couldn't do this. He couldn't do this. You know, there are times when you say you are Alpha and Omega, and your mind is somewhere else, but your mouth is saying you are Alpha and Omega. You know, after that miracle, I was with two brothers. Nobody told us to worship. Worship was just bubbling out of us because we saw God moving with our own eyes. We are not watching a pastor on TV. We saw it with our own eyes that God will use us, that God is in us, that we lay hands on someone who has a stroke and the stroke is gone. We had begun to manifest. I said we had begun to manifest. So you also, you're a child of God. And Jesus said, if you believe, you will speak in new tongues. He said, if you believe, you will cast out devils. He said, if you believe, you will drink poison and nothing will happen to you. Amen. You are a child of God. Amen. You have God living in you. Amen. It's time for you to manifest. Amen. It's not time for excuses. It's time for you to manifest. I remember one day, I was preaching like I'm preaching today. And then when I finished preaching, I told everybody to stand up. And I said, let's pray, like I normally do. And we started praying. And as we were praying, a woman there in the congregation just fell, boo, on the floor. I was surprised as everyone else in the congregation, what's happening to this woman? So I said, bring her to me. She came, I laid my hands on her, and the service finished, we went home. When I got home, I found a text on my phone. I said, Pastor, you won't believe what happened. I said, tell me what happened. I said, that woman that you prayed for in church, she couldn't go to the toilet for 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Apparently, the father was a serious guy who used to throw the bones. Very heavy. He was known in the area where she came from. And apparently, her and the father were at loggerheads, and the father locked her, so you don't go to the toilet anymore. The own father. So when I laid my hands, God unlocked. And when she got home, she could relieve herself. Hey! Somebody say manifest, manifest. Manifest. I didn't even know this whole story. I just saw somebody being healed. It's time for you to manifest. When you start manifesting, you'll start walking in dominion. When you start manifesting. Hallelujah. Someone say, I'm a child of God. God is living in me. Say it with faith. God is living in me. Let me give you some scriptures to prove what I'm saying. The first one is 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. These scriptures are scriptures that, you see, like Jesus said to Satan, it is written. He didn't say, Satan, wait, let me check the Bible first. These are scriptures that should be in you. I listen to me. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Are you there? I still see some Bibles turning. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Quickly, I'm finishing. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to read it with me. Let me open it because it's got some things on top there. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Let's read it together. I'm going to count to three and then we read. Hallelujah. 1, 2, 3, go. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Hello, read with me. Are you there?
Amen.
Are you in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4?
Amen.
All right, I want to hear your voice. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. For Jesus, for Jesus. Greater is he that is in you. There is somebody who is in you. And that person is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God. He's greater than any force in this world. He's greater than any demon in this world. And he's living in you. It's time to manifest. Where is he living? In you. Put your hands together for Jesus, that God is in me. God is in me. God is in me. God. Say it again. God is in me. He's in me. He's in me. God is in me. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5. Quickly. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. First John chapter 5 and verse 1. I'm closing. Are you there? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Let's pause there. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you know what is the Christ? The Christ is the anointed one. In other words, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one who came to save us. All right, do you believe that? Amen. Do you believe? Amen. Paul, do you believe? Pat, do you believe? Koketa, do you believe? Precious, do you believe? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So if you believe this, it means that you are born of God. In other words, you are a child of God. Do you believe?
Amen.
Then you are born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Okay, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God, for whatsoever is born of God. We just established that you are the one who is born of God. Say amen, assembly.
Amen.
Are you still here?
Amen.
We have just established that you are born of God. And the Bible says, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world.
Amen.
Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world.
Amen.
In other words, the one who is born of God is supposed to walk in dominion.
Amen.
So you must begin to manifest that you are born of God. You are a child of God. God is in you. It must start showing.
Amen.
I said it must start showing.
Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, what does it mean to walk in dominion? It means that you have to begin to manifest that you are born of God, that you are a child of God, that you have Christ living in you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I see you manifesting in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I see you manifesting in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I see you manifesting in your workplace.
Amen.
I see you manifesting in your home.
Amen.
I see you manifesting at school.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord and give him praise, somebody. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As we close, you know, as I began teaching about discipline, I wasn't even teaching, it's just coming out of my mouth. For you to manifest, it's not something that happens by chance. It's okay, he's a child, look at me. It's not something that happens by chance, okay? You have to do something. You have to pray. You have to be prayerful. You know, Everything when it comes to God starts and ends with praying and reading the Bible. That's simple. Praying and reading the Bible. And both are important. There are people who are prayerful but don't read. It's a mistake. There are people who read but are not prayerful. It's a mistake. You need to read and pray. Read and pray. Read and pray. Read and pray. When reading the Bible and praying to your God becomes a daily thing, you will begin to manifest. It will happen automatically. You won't even try. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
You won't even try. It will become automatic. You start to say, come, let me pray for you. Come, let me pray for you. And your faith will be not based on, you know, watching TV. It will be God living in you, pushing you. Are you going to manifest?
Amen.
Are you going to be prayerful?
Amen.
Are you going to read your Bible?
Amen.
Let's rise to our feet. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Thank him for the message you have heard today. It's time for you to manifest. It's time for me to manifest. It's time for this church to manifest. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Powerful. I'm going to be showing you some things this Easter conference that is coming. That I'll be talking specifically about praying and how prayer affects certain things. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, I'm reading the Bible and it feels like I've never read the Bible before. It feels like I'm reading it for the first time. When I read the Bible these days, my mind is always blown. I can't wait to start teaching you about the rapture in the last days. The things that are there are amazing. I was drawing Mom Ruti a time map, showing her that we are in this time period according to God's calendar. And I told her that the next thing that's going to happen is this. And I said, after this thing happens, there'll be 7 years that are going to take place. And there's going to be two realities. One is going to be in heaven, one is going to be on the earth. And things will be happening there, and things will be happening here. Why? And then after that thing happens, Jesus will come back. And then there will be a 1,000-year period. What will be happening in that 1,000 years? As I'm reading, I'm so excited. And I can't wait to start teaching you.
Amen.
When I was praying this week, a scripture entered into my heart. I can do all things through Jesus Christ that strengthened me.
Amen.
Ah! Strength came to me. I can do all things. I can do all things. I have Jesus who is strengthening me every day. He's empowering me. What challenges before me? I am not alone. There is a Jesus who is strengthening me every single day. Put your hands together for him properly. But this is happening to me as I read. This is happening to me as I pray. As I read. And as I pray, as I read, and as I pray, one day, I was speaking to Mom Ruth on my phone. Mom Ruth is my best friend, so when I see something, she's the first person I want to talk to. So I called her, or she called me, and I said, you won't believe what I saw in the Bible today. And I started telling her, I was reading the book of Revelations, and I saw how the Bible says in Revelations chapter 5, that Jesus was slain to receive power, to receive glory, to receive blessings, to receive honor and riches. And I said, when God allows you to be slain, when God allows you to go through pain, when God allows you to suffer, when God allows you to go through difficulties, it's not for mahala. You will trade your pain for riches. You will trade your pain for honor. You will trade your pain for glory. As I was reading, I was being encouraged. As I was reading, I was being blessed. The Father, my pain is not for mahala. My suffering is not for mahala. As I'm going through what I'm going through, one day I will trade it for power. One day I will trade it for glory. One day I will trade it for honor. One day I will trade it for riches. Ah, Jesus. But I see this as I read. If you don't read, you don't know. You are going through pain. You are being discouraged. You are feeling down. But you don't know that as you go through it for God, that one day you will trade it for power, for glory, for riches, for honor. For you to show any manifestation that you're a child of God, it starts by the simple discipline of praying every day, reading your Bible every day. Every single day, you read a little bit, you pray a little bit, you read a little bit. It's a daily thing that must be always in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Open your mouth and just talk to the Lord. I don't know what God has been saying to you as I'm talking here.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope that you're blessed. For inquiries, contact 082-682-6048. Or send us an email at info@healingfireministries.com or go to our website www.healingfireministries.com. May God be with you.